Do you know how powerful you are?
Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. Us, your host with the most, Terrell Simmons, and I'm excited for this next guest, Mr. Anthony Smith, Emmy and NAACP award-winning director and producer. He's now the VP of non-scripted development at Smack Entertainment. And if you know anything about Smack Entertainment, all I gotta say is they doing great things. This is co-founded by Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Strahan, and he's been doing some amazing things with notable talents such as Snoop Dogg, Nikki Bella, Wiz Khalifa. And if you follow Deion Sanders and the epic journey that has been recorded from Jackson State University to his new recent development moves, this brother, Anthony Smith, is behind all of that amazing production, him and his crew. And I'm loving everything that they're doing. I can't wait for you guys to enter this episode to get in conversation with this young man and for us to just, you know, chop it up with everything that he has gone through with his luxurious and amazing career, producing number of projects from the NFL's brightest stars. He has produced even tentpole projects for events including the Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, NFL Draft, NFL Scouting Combine. You know, Smith, he's just one of the primary creative forces behind the NFL's most dynamic, impactful media content. And I'm so happy to see him, you know, stepping out into this new role with Michael Strahan to produce such amazing content. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Anthony Smith as he talks about his trailblazing journey working in sports entertainment and what's next in his new role as VP of non-scripted development at Smack Entertainment. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. I got a special guest in the building today. This brother, you may have seen him doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, but we're going to put him in front of the camera today. Mr. Anthony Smith, award-winning television professional. 15 years in the game. Congratulations, sir. 15 years. That's more than 15.
It's more like 18, but okay. That's okay.
Okay, 18. Okay, see, the bio said 15, so I had to go off the bio.
15 plus. I'm 18 in now, and you know, it's crazy when you think about it. I'm actually celebrating a birthday today.
Congratulations. Well, happy birthday to you as well. Ask how young you are?
I'm celebrating my Jackie Robinson year, 42 this year. And you know, thinking about when I first started doing this and where we are now and the fact that there are jobs now that didn't exist when I started, and the fact that when I started, you know, it was TV and movies. Now we produce content. It's like everybody's producing content. Like there, we didn't know what content was back in 04, 05. You know, there's so many more opportunities for young people that are getting in this game now. There's so many more avenues. There's so many more outlets for them and to share their creativity and for their creativity to flourish. And it's an exciting time to be a part of the industry.
Yes, it is an exciting time. And as they say, content is king. And we're going to dive more into that because I want you to speak on that and what that means for what you're doing now. But for the people who have not, and let me tell you, I wasn't guessing 42, like, when they say black don't crack, this man right here don't got no wrinkles on his face. So I don't know what type of lotion he's using or what he got in his diet, but you're looking good. You're looking good, brother.
Well, thank you. You know, it's you know, it's the jeans plus, you know, I'm gonna give a plug. Michael Strahan skincare products, you know.
Oh, okay. Don't hurt him. Go.
You know, Stray got some skincare products.
So, yeah, he do. Wait to shout out the client too.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, hey, it is what it is. Gotta stay fresh with this beard, with the skin lotion, all of that. So
lit.
But thank you for the birthday wishes.
Yeah, anytime. So for those who have not had the pleasure of knowing you or getting to follow your career, I like to use this time. I like to ask this question. Who is Anthony Smith? And maybe you could take that as far as wide as you want to go, because the people who know you might learn something new in this segment. Who is Anthony Smith?
Wow. So I am a father of two beautiful, beautiful young women. I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. 16-year-old is driving now on the freeway. 13-year-old, she's doing her thing in eighth grade. She has her Willy Wonka play coming up this Friday. Everybody's excited about. My 16-year-old was homecoming queen. So really proud of my daughters. I've been married 19 years. So 19 years to the most amazing woman that you can imagine. And, you know, I was raised by a father that was in the military, a mother who was a teacher. And, you know, they taught me at a very, very young age about who I am, where I came from, you know, four fathers, four mothers, and just the responsibility that comes with being a professional, being a Black professional in the world today. I think that's been amplified over the course of the last few years with just some of the things that we've seen in the news and some of the things that have transpired. But, you know, at a very young age, you know, I'm a Black History Month flashcards, and, you know, and it was very important for my parents to instill in me, you know, who I am and where I came from, just in terms of culturally. And as far as a producer and a director and now an executive, I was somebody that from a very, very young age fell in love with sports, fell in love with movies and television. I grew up on military bases, and we moved every 2 or 3 years, my brother and myself. Later on, my sister, who's 8 years younger, but I had a brother that was 2 years younger than me, and every couple of years we'd move. And we quickly found out that the quickest way to make friends, not to get picked on and not to have to roll up your sleeves and go to work on the first day of school at a new school, was to be able to play sports and was to be able to talk about what was happening in television and movies. So what initially served as a defense mechanism, you know, truly became a lifelong love. And when I graduated from college at the University of Southern California, I knew that I wanted to do something that merged those two worlds together. So now, right, all these years later, this is who I am. This is what I do professionally. And I gave you a little bit of who I am personally as well.
Yeah. So you were kind of like the walking definition of more than an athlete before that became like a concept, it feels like.
Man, I was just trying not to get in fights at school. You know, I was just trying to make friends. I was just really trying to make friends. But it's funny. My dad was an athlete growing up. My mother, she was an athlete. She did track. She did skating growing up. She wasn't a figure skater, but she used to. It was funny when I go back and look at pictures. She did roller skating, I guess, which was big in the 70s or whatnot when she was a teenager. We used to do roller skating competitions, similar to roll bounce almost. And so grew up very athletic parents, and sports was something that was always around and it was always encouraged.
Now, what sports did you play, just out of curiosity?
So I played soccer, ran track, played basketball until I stopped growing at 5'9", and that was a wrap on that. Played football just kind of for fun, after middle school, not anything that was serious. But always play, you know, flag football and play out in the streets and for Thanksgiving and those sorts of things. But I just love, played softball, just love getting out there and running around and the camaraderie that comes with the team, is really true. And there's things that you learn being on a team that, you know, to this day, I still go back to things that my coaches taught me growing up.
Man, there's so much that transcends from being in the team sport and that team environment that translate that could translate over to your professional career as well. I think I was watching, you know, the brothers from Pivot. They was like, I forget who they were talking to. They was talking to somebody who had made the transition. I can't, the running back, I can't think of his name right now, made, talk about his transition from sports to how hard it was because of that, that having that team camaraderie, that team locker room, yeah, and being able to transition into the next thing after life of sports, things that you've been trained for. It looks like you've been able to do that successfully. How was that transition for you, and how did you successfully make that transition from being in the that very, you know, driven sports family, sports environment to like, all right, now I'm not going to play sports professionally, but I want to, you know, pivot into a career that still allows me to be close to it. How were you able to really successfully do that?
Well, look, man, once I finished high school, that was it. I was done. And you know, I've been on rec teams since then, but I was never an athlete, and I don't want to get, you know, confuse anybody or get it twisted. Like, I was never an athlete on that level, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, being around, you know, professional athletes for as long as I have, even being around college athletes, like, I was never an athlete on that level. You know, I played in high school. Athletics were always important to the family, but it wasn't like I was a blue chip athlete.
Okay.
or anything. So it wasn't like it was a tough transition, you know, finishing high school and going to school. But what I will say is again, just being on teams growing up, which is why, you know, it's funny, you know, whether you're an athlete, you know, quote unquote an athlete or not, why, you know, we always encourage, you know, our kids to start playing soccer when they're 5 years old or t-ball. It's because you just learn things in sports. You just learn things being on teams, you know, working with other people, working towards a common goal that really lasts a lifetime. If you have the right coaches and if you're on the right team. Once I started college, I came to USC, University of Southern California, came to the film school at SC. And I knew from the first time I stepped into the Lucas building, which was I don't even know if it's still the Lucas building now, but when I stepped onto campus in 1998, and you just see the posters of all of the movies and TV shows that alumni had made, I knew I was in the right place. I knew I was going to get an education that was going to serve me well, and that if I did put in the work, worked hard, stayed committed to the craft, that I'd be able to have a chance in this industry. And I think, you know, when I came to school, that's all I really wanted. Yeah. I love creating. I love film. I love television. And I just wanted a chance to create a life in that industry. And USC gave me the foundation, gave me the tools I needed to really go out and achieve what I've been able to achieve since I started.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they gave you the foundation, because you have done some incredible things, and you're going to continue to do incredible things. Now, going back to what we were talking about, content is king. Like, there's so much opportunity now out here. When you look at where we're at now and how far the industry has come, what about the future excites you?
Well, there's just so many different outlets. There's so many different places where you have the opportunity to create. Again, when I first started from a sports standpoint, you go to HBO Sports, you go to ESPN, Fox Sports was just really getting started. But other than that, it wasn't a ton of places where you can go. Now for sports, you know, just specifically sports, there's 10, 15 different places that you can take a great sports concept. And, you know, that's not everything that, you know, that we do at SMAC, which is where I am and where I've been since February, you know, doing music documentaries, doing game shows, doing documentaries, docufalls. When I first started at USC, there was no such thing as a reality show. Being able to do a reality show, you could just go to so many different places to do it. You know, there's cable, but there's just everybody has a streaming service. That didn't exist 20 years ago. So the exciting thing is that if you have a great idea and you're creative, and again, you work hard enough at it and you talk to the right people, you have a chance, you have a shot to get your piece of content seen by millions. And I think that at the end of the day, creatives, that's what you want. You want to do work and you want to be able to have people see your work. And now more than ever, there's places and there's different avenues to get your work seen. So that really excites me.
Yeah. Now, what was the pitch to get you? Now, I know you're with Smack Entertainment now. How did they lure you over? What excited you about the opportunity when you saw it or when it was presented to you? He was like, "All right, Vice President of Non-Scripted Development." And tell me what is non-scripted development? What's a day in the life of being the VP of non-scripted development? Curious about that too.
A lot of people pitching to you. A lot of people pitching ideas to you. You pitching ideas to buyers. Taking meetings. Meeting with content creators. So a lot of meeting, and then, you know, ideating, setting aside time each day to ideate and to work, you know, create new projects, to work on projects that are already in development, problem solving. But you know, it's a day-to-day you know, grind is the wrong word, but you know, you're rolling up your sleeves every day, and you there's not an off day, you know, at all. But it's not work though, because you love doing it, and you love, you know, the projects that you're working on. You love them all like they're your own children, and you want to get them out of the world, you know, like your children, and by whatever, you know, any means necessary, you know, sometimes. begging, pleading, coercing, charming, whatever you have to do to get a project set up. That's what the goal is. So it's been fun. It's been a fun 8 months, I believe, with Smack. I think it's 8 months.
Yeah, you probably feel like it's been longer than 8 months though.
Everything you just mentioned. I started right after Super Bowl and really hit the ground running. And the thing that I love about it is, you know, I walked in, so I'd been with the NFL for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, you know, knowing that Michael Strahan has NFL ties, and Constance Schwartz-Marini, who's Michael's partner and is amazing, you know, had NFL ties. And, you know, I walked in knowing that there was just going to be that foundational comfort level, that we were going to be able to speak the same language there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, seeing Constance work, you know, mm-hmm. day in and day out, and I've known her for a while, but seeing her on a day-to-day basis and seeing Michael work on a day-to-day basis, but then also seeing the team work on a day-to-day basis, I was like, these are some of the smartest people I've ever been around. It's inspiring to be around people that are that hardworking and that driven and that focused and mm-hmm. and just that smart is amazing. And look, that's not saying that I wasn't around, you know, those people previously, because that's not what I'm saying. But yeah, I just walked in and I was like, man, these people are inspiring. I'm gonna love this. I think I'm gonna fit right in. And so far, so good. And it's just been every day I'm learning something too, which is really cool. About a different part of the business, because I don't know if you know, but Smack initially started off as a management company, and that's still a huge part of what the business is. Huge part. Okay. So seeing, you know, knowing my production, you know, knowing production and having that background, you know, a lot of what I've done over the years transferred very seamlessly into this new job. But being able to watch other people do things that aren't production, but that are still a part of the business and still a part of our company, is just really cool, because it shows you another side of this entertainment business, which is cool. It helps you figure out synergies and ways to work together, and ways to work with a brand or with marketing or with, you know, whatever other parts, management, whatever other parts of the business that are under this particular Smack umbrella. So it's just been cool.
Yeah. Like I I just knew it had to be cool, and just and then hearing you say this just kind of reaffirms that, because you know, I get to see Michael on, you know, I feel like he's like the Steve Harvey of sports. Like, he's on like every platform, and I was like, man, this, I don't know who this guy works with, but his team, he must have an amazing team to be able to seamlessly go across different amazing platforms and just amazing be able to.
And look, and it's not just Strahan. I mean, this is the team that manages Deion. I'm sure you've seen everything with Coach Prime that's been going on.
I was about to get into that. So we, you know,
same team. Tony Gonzalez, Aaron Andrews, Troy Aikman. It's the, you know, Wiz Khalifa. Constance is down in Atlanta right now doing a movie with Snoop.
What?
Who she managed for years. So it's the real deal. And seeing that up close and personal is amazing. And look, I think that, and this is important too. You know, I was at the NFL for 17 years and I love my time at the NFL, and being able to tell some of the stories that I was able to tell while I was at the NFL, especially these last 5-6 years. When I left, I told my team, you know that if we weren't here and we weren't doing this, this would not have gotten done. It's like, you know, we made a difference, not only on the NFL, but we made a difference on culture and, you know, in sports at large. Like, I really believe that. And I got all the love and thanks for the NFL for being able to do that. But 17 years just doing stories on one sport, it got to the point where I was like, man, if I don't leave now, then I'm going to be telling football stories the rest of my life, which I love football. I love football. Football is my favorite sport. So if that was the case, and that's what God had set up for me for my life, it would have been a happy life. But when the opportunity presented itself to come work with Constance, to come work with Michael, to still do football stories, but to be able to tell stories that were outside of football, that, you know, touch on other sports, but other industries and music and things that were happening socially and things, you know, like game shows, and we're developing a judge show, the opportunity as a storyteller to do all of that, it was just too good to pass up.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I feel like it's more than just a story. And the one thing that I really appreciate about what you highlighted, you know, through this conversation is the importance of that team. And you guys have a dream team over there. You know, in your own words, you know, why is it important to have the right people on your team to accomplish a dream?
Well, look, man, it's you know, it's funny. So I have a close friend of mine who has this quote. It's like, the quote is, everybody may come with you, but everybody can't go with you. Mm. And what that means is that there are going to be people that along the way are going to come into your life. And there's going to be people that along the way, you know, for whatever reasons, no longer serve a purpose in your life, especially when you're talking professionally. You know, having, and we talked, you know, we were talking about teamwork earlier, and, you know, the lessons that being on a team, being on a sports team early on instill in you. And one of the biggest things is achieving a common goal and putting in the work to achieve a common goal. You know, it's like the kid that's on a school project. You got four kids on a school project. One of the kids doesn't want to do any work, and you have the other people that have to pick up the slack for them. When you are doing a job, when you're going towards a goal, you want to make sure that when you are in those proverbial trenches, you have somebody that has your back, and they know that they have your back as well. And that's why having the right team around you is important. That you aren't asking anybody to do anything that you wouldn't do yourself. At the same time, you know that you're going to do a lot. So you want those people on your team that can do as much as you. And I think that when you are chasing goals and you're chasing greatness, which is another thing that excites me about Smack, is that it's a company that's chasing greatness. When you're chasing greatness, it's like, you have to have people with you that are chasing greatness. And it's fine. And this is the thing. Everybody's not supposed to chase greatness. Mm-hmm. And there are people that being good or good enough, that's fine. And that's okay, because there's a lot of those people in the world, and we need those people in the world for the world to turn the way, you know, the way that it goes as the world turns. but there's also people that are achieving greatness and are striving for greatness. And that's always been something that's been instilled in me from a very young age, you know, to chase your dreams, to be as great as you can. And I really, in this current spot, I'm around people that are chasing the same thing, and it's really exciting that every day you're trying to do the impossible. That's not going to say that every day you're going to do the impossible, but you're trying to do the impossible, and that is that's amazing. So to answer your question about teamwork, you have to have those people that are chasing the same thing and that have the same singular focus, and that's amazing. And that was actually one of the things that I was most worried about coming over from a company like the NFL that's large and has big goals every year and is doing these big things every year, is that, okay, what if I'm going to a place where the goals aren't as big and the goals aren't as huge? Am I going to get bored? I'm going to tell you for a fact that that is not the case.
It don't sound like that's the case.
It is the exact opposite. It is the exact opposite of that. I was there about a week. I was like, well, I'm not going to have to worry about this.
Yeah. I think what comes up for me when I hear you, when you talk about this, because you get me all energetic and inspired just from having this conversation with you. Somebody once said, like, if you look at your circle and you look around you and you don't get inspired, if you don't get inspired, then you have a cage, not a circle, right? Because the circle around you should be inspiring you every day. The other thing you said is, you know, the people that you all are working with for like chasing greatness, which I want to get into this Dion thing, because I don't know how that concept came about, but like what Dion is doing right now is more than just football to me. Like bringing men, black men together, teaching them life lessons, infusing God in there too. And whether you believe in Christian, whatever religion he's in, like just having some type of spirituality and then having that being the foundation for these young men. And also highlighting our HBCUs. Shout out to the HBCUs. Like, I don't know who came up with, tell me, how did this concept this come out to be? How has it been like working on that project and elevating it? And where is that project going? Because that is so inspiring.
Amazon, December 15th.
What?
Amazon Prime on Amazon Prime, December 15th. We're coming at you. Four episodes. It's been an amazing season, as you've seen in social media, in the news. Every week is something amazing happening around Dion, around Jackson, around the football team. And it's been an amazing journey to document it, to document really what coach is doing there. And as you mentioned, you know, not just getting these kids set up to potentially have professional football careers, but getting them set up to have, you know, productive lives and to also give back themselves to the communities and pay it forward. And just these life lessons and goals. It's like, I just saw something that he posted on his social a couple of days ago, where he is actually speaking to the female, not trainers. They're like female staff on the football team. I forget their exact roles, but they're student staff.
Yeah.
And they came in and they just wanted to talk to him, and they just wanted to tell him how much they've been inspired by, you know, being around the team, being around him and just working with him. So, you know, it's often portrayed and it's often, you know, shared, you know, just how significant a force he's been on the football team and how inspiring he's been on the football team. But it's not just the football team. Mm-hmm. He is touching the lives of so many people every day, not just on that campus, not just on that school, not just in Jackson, but around the country and around the world. And, you know, it's really cool to see kids that weren't even alive when he was playing. Let's be honest. I seen Dion on YouTube, but it's not like they were alive. Like, I was alive. Yeah. I remember when him and MC Hammer were traveling around, you know, on a free agent tour, and, you know, and when he came to Dallas and the commercial with Jerry Jones, I remember all that. These kids weren't even born.
Yeah.
But he transcends that. He transcends what he did on the field. And, you know, seeing the kids inspired by him and seeing them, you know, again, football is one thing and they're there to play football. That's, you know, why many of them, you know, went to Jackson State. But just seeing them start to look at things and see things and see the bigger picture in real time is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, I even get inspired and I learn some life lessons as well. I remember I saw him on one post because they were going out. I think, where was it? They had a game and it's like, all right, come on, Mississippi, for this weekend. We don't need no violence. And he gave a this impactful, like simple, but, you know, impactful speech. I don't know if there was no violence in Mississippi, but I have to feel like crime might have went down because Prime gave the call out. Somebody step on your sneakers, you know, just wipe it off. Come see me personally. I'll buy you a new pair. and we like, man, this man need to run for mayor. We might need Coach Prime to run for mayor. With the life lessons he's teaching.
That's the spinoff, Mayor Prime.
Yeah.
there you go.
Now, like often I get young folks that ask me or people ask me, you know, things, you know that old question, like knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? But I'm going to spin it this way. Knowing what you know now, what are three things you wish you did at that prime age that Coach Prime has these kids between that, you know, 18 to 22 range? And why? Like, knowing what you know now, what are three things you wish you would have done around that age? And why?
Well, you know, it's funny. This might be the exception to the rule.
Okay.
But I met my wife. I met my wife in college, met her the second day of freshman year.
Okay.
It's something that she's always joked with me about is the fact that I was so focused in college and I was so focused in my 20s that I do wish that I would have taken time to have more fun in college and enjoy the experience more. And I know that that's probably the exception to the rule because most people are probably the exact opposite. Yeah. But looking back, and I tell my – one of the things I try to do with my daughters and me and my wife try to do is just make sure that we're giving them experiences and they're able to experience things and, you know, whether it's going to a game, Disneyland, what have you, that having work-life balance is a real thing. It's a real important thing. And I do wish that especially when I was in school, I'm like, man – like there's some things I would have gone back and maybe I wasn't studying all the time. Maybe I wasn't working on that script all the time. Maybe there was just some, you know, I just allowed myself to enjoy that experience a little bit more. I had a good time. As I said, I didn't have a good time in college. I did have a good time in college, but that's one thing that I wish I would have done. You know, in terms of professionally, one of the things that I do, especially with young Black men and women that I talk to and that I mentor now, but everybody, because I don't just mentor young Black men and women, but I do tell them, and I do encourage them to get out and meet people, get out and talk, and to also understand and realize that a huge part of success, and I don't even think this is an unfortunate thing, but a huge part of success is the people you know, and it's not completely based on productivity and results. That some of it is definitely based on who you know, getting out, shaking hands, networking. Wasn't really called networking back in 98, 99 when I was starting. But I do think going out and meeting more people and quote unquote networking is something that I would have been more aggressive in the first part of my career in the way that I have been in these last 10 years or so. And then the third thing, yes, man, I can go back and get some Google stock, maybe some Netflix, I don't know, some Apple. Yeah, that'd be good. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like there's, I, like, I don't have a ton of regrets, to be honest. My life is good. I'm working at a great place. I worked at a great place before this. I have, you know, two beautiful children. I have a wife that I've been married to for a very long time. I really have nothing to complain about.
Wow. I love that. I love that. All great advice. I would take all of it. Now, so let's talk a little bit about the career experience just a little bit, because I like to show people you know, the progression in career. Because, you know, sometimes people, like students, when they graduate college, they think, oh, I'm supposed to get into that big six-figure job right out of college. Now I got my degree. Where's the big job at, right? And I like to tell people, no, that, you know, not everybody often goes that route. Or even if you get up straight out of high school, sometimes they think I'm supposed to, you know, this is the career path I want to go, and I'm going to jump right into that career path. I like to ask this question of, what was your first job? Because I like the people that, you know, get grounded in reality of like, hey, everybody has a beginning, and sometimes some beginnings are more humble than others. So what was your first job?
My very first job, I was a busboy at a place called Shogun. So Shogun is like a Benihana's, like Japanese steakhouse type place. So I'd go out, get the, you know, scrub off the you know, the surface, grab the cups, clear off the plates. And it's funny, I'm talking to my daughter now who's trying to get her first job, and she's telling me the job that she wants. I'm like, you're not trying to get a career. You're not trying to start a career. You just need to get a job. It's like, you're not going to love your first job. Get a job, make some money, you know, roll up your sleeves, do some hard work, and you'll be better for it. But she's like, I have two places I want to work. I was like, you better pick more than two, because you may not get those two, and then you're not just going to sit at home and tell me that you want me to buy you a car. So,
look, she's like, I don't need this job. My daddy got a good job.
that's not going to fly.
and we often learn, you know, I from our first jobs, like different things that will help benefit us later on in life, like, organization, you know, office acumen, if it's an office job. Like, so yeah, I'm glad that you're encouraging her just to, hey, you just need a job. And then you'll learn what you don't want or what you need to improve for that, about time you get that job that you really do want, right?
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So now let's talk about how you got into your career. Now, what would you say were the steps that you kind of took? I know you went to school, but what are some key steps that helped you kind of get into the industry that you're in?
Internships are key. You know, getting as many internships and a variety of different types of internships as you can get, I think is great. I interned for Joel Silver, who is a, you know, legendary Hollywood producer. Interned with him for I think it was my sophomore year. Might have been my junior year. I think it was sophomore year. Actually, it was my sophomore year, because junior and senior year, I interned at MTV Films at Paramount Studios. Having internships was key. I think that was a great learning experience. I love the fact that interns are getting paid now. Back in the day, you didn't get paid.
You had to go work for free.
which you know, like, I didn't mind, but what I have learned over the years, and it's a very good point, is that unfortunately, you know, with internships, if you're working for free, that cuts out a huge number of people who may not have the opportunity or may not be able to work for free, and that are either paying their way through school or whatever because their financial circumstances can't afford to do that. So by paying interns, you're opening it up to more people, and it's more inclusive, which I do love. But internships.
More inclusive and more equitable too for those who, you know, don't have that opportunity because of their circumstances.
So internship. And then also, I mean, one of the things that my parents told me at a very, very young age is try to meet somebody new each week, try to learn something new each day, you know? Right now we have more information at our fingertips than ever before in human history. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes we use it we're not gaining knowledge, where we aren't trying to obtain knowledge, or we're not trying to get more intelligent, where we're posting on social media, we're talking to people that are saying the same things that we're saying. So trying to learn something new and try to meet new people, I think is key.
I like that.
You know, whether they're in your industry or business or not, the things that you learn from just different people is so important. I'll tell you a quick story. So a couple of years ago, we had a young production assistant. We're trying to hire for a production assistant position at the NFL, and there was a kid that came in, and he had no interest in being in production long term. Actually, it was an internship. And he had no interest in being in production long term. He wanted to be a lawyer. But this was like hands down one of the smartest people. Forget that age. This was just one of the smartest people that I had ever seen up close and personal. And so, you know, we're making the argument, four of us, that we're making a decision on who to bring in as an intern. And I said, look, this guy may not be with us for 10 years, but he's going to be with us for 6 months. He's going to make us better for 6 months. Let's bring him in. And we ultimately brought the kid in. He was amazing. And he ended up being a lawyer, but he ended up being a lawyer in production. So he ended up being like a production lawyer, you know, and he's been doing it for about 6 or 7 years now. But the point is that just being around smart people and trying to meet people, I think is so key. And being willing to get out of your comfort zone is important. Now, you know, that is ironic coming from a guy that had the same job for 17 years, but I tried to do a lot of different things within, you know, like while I was, you know, at that job. But, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, I think, is also important.
Well, I'll say leaving something comfortable and sturdy as NFL, where you've, you know, made a name for yourself and to do this thing, that's stepping out of your comfort zone. So I'll give you a little bit, you know, yeah. you stepped out on faith and this great team. And now you're doing some trailblazing work. And we thank you and we're grateful that you took that leap of faith. What's one good lesson life has taught you?
Man, you know, life teaches you something every day, man. I'll tell you something that production has taught me and being a producer and director and showrunner has taught me is that your best laid plans every single day are going to get ripped up early in the day. And you're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to adjust. And if you can't do that, that you're not going to be a producer, but you're also not going to be successful in life. You have to be willing and you have to be able to adjust on the fly. And that's just a lesson that I've learned from, you know, that every single time I go out on a production, something goes wrong. Like I literally, last production I was on, so we, I'm not going to tell you who it is yet because we haven't announced the show yet. We're doing a shoot on Thursday, I believe it was. It was Thursday. So we had everything planned out. We had two talent coming in, flying into location. Two quarterbacks coming in, flying into the college of one of the quarterbacks, and they were going to basically do a tour of the campus and take a walk down memory lane. And they're flying in on the same plane. So I get a call. I get a text. Actually, I get a text from one of them. Maybe about, and they're flying in same day. So I get a text from one of them, probably 3 hours before they're going to land. We got to get off the plane. They're putting us on another plane. We're probably going to be 2 hours late, which completely blew up the schedule. Completely blew up everything.
Oh, man.
Because one of them was also jumping on a plane that evening at 6 o'clock to fly back. So all of the stuff that we had planned for that day, we had to figure out a way to adjust on the fly, and there was going to be 2 or 3 hours before they got there. So we're going to be ready to go in 2 or 3 hours with this new plan.
Wow.
We figured out the new plan. We got everything we needed and got the one that needed to get back, got him in his car, headed back to the airport with 15 minutes to spare. But you have to be willing to look at those challenges that pop up as opportunities, not as detriments or not as, you know, the world crashing down and panic setting in. Like those are opportunities. It's opportunity to call an audible and it still go score a touchdown, you know? The production has taught me you gotta be fluid. You gotta be able to improvise.
So ladies and gentlemen, this advice is so timely because what you don't know, because it happens so smoothly, is that I had an audible just happen just a few minutes ago. My camera went out and I know my screen went black on this side and he just kept going. He kept rolling. I was like, okay, he's going to keep rolling. Let me get this next camera back up.
I've been there. I knew you were coming back.
But I was like, what's going on? Not right now. And then he just kept it fluid. You would, if you're getting the audio experience, you would have never known anything happened.
There you go. It's a quote from, so there's a, There's a movie. It's a Chris Hemsworth quote. It's from this movie where he is Ron Howard directed it, and he's playing. It's basically the story behind what really happened with Moby Dick, and there's a scene where it's like set in the 1700s and this or 1600s in the maybe it's the 1800s, but his ship gets boarded by some pirates, and they're you know they got guns on them, and they're like you know. Say you're afraid. Say you're scared. You know we know you are. Uh-huh. It's like give us what we want. He's like I'm not gonna say it. He's like I'm not telling you that because I'm not scared. And it's like but it's like the and you know it's funny. You know I saw that and it's like you can't. And this is something my dad taught me at an early age. If you were leading in whatever you know way that you're leading, whether it's you're leading at your house or with a team. At work, what have you, people that are funneled up to you and that are following you are going to follow your lead. If you're freaking out on a set, then people are going to freak out on a set. If you're calm and cool, then people are going to be calm and cool. Mm-hmm. I found in my experience, like panicking and freaking out only causes more people to panic and to freak out, I found. So I try to just in life, and again, that's something else that you know production has not necessarily taught me but validated is you know these lessons that my mother and father taught me at an early age is like if people are following you you know realize that they're watching every move that you're making they're watching you know they're watching you when you know they're watching you but they're also watching you when you don't know they're watching and they're going to follow your lead if you're a true leader so I Try to be cool. Yeah. Be cool and be nice.
Calm, cool, collected. I'm gonna call you Mr. Athlete Cool Smith.
that's right. That's another movie that me and my friends were watching the other night. So we do these Netflix parties every now and then. So you may be familiar with this movie or not, but we're watching Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. Uh-huh. So he plays a bouncer. He's this bouncer that goes in and that cleans up bad bars. It's like quintessential 80s movie. So he gets to this new bar and it's the worst bar ever. And there he's talking to his bouncers and he's the cooler. Uh-huh. And he's like laying out his grand, you know, plan for turning the bar around. He's like, be nice. Uh-huh. No matter what happens to you, be nice. Somebody spits in your face, be nice. You know, somebody calls your mom a name, be nice. He's like, until it's time to not be nice. And they're like, well, when do we know it's time to not be nice? He's like, you won't, but he's like, I will, and I'll let you know what it is. But it's the same. It's like, you know, be cool and be nice. And that will get you get you far. I found be genuine. Be a genuine person. And then look, if you every now and then you have to not be nice, then you know, you have to do that too. But yeah, I think that you're able to. I found these are just my experiences. Everybody's different, but I found that being a genuine person, being a cool person, and not freaking out has served me well.
It definitely has its benefits. So I know somebody's going to listen to this. Some young person, some adult that's young adult that's graduating, or maybe they're 5, 6 years into their career and they realize, you know, they haven't quite, you know, challenged themselves and they really wanted to go down the career route you probably wanted to go down. What some advice you would give somebody like that who's inspired by your story, wanted to get into the film and television industry, what's some advice you would give them on how to get their start or what they should do to position themselves?
Going back to it, you got to meet people. You got to be willing to. Uh-huh. You got to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to find comfort in being uncomfortable. So that's going to places you may not necessarily want to go, meeting people that you may have nothing in common with, and being willing to have people say no to you. Not having your world crush at people like, no, I can't help you. But I will say this: I have found that more often than not, if you're looking to do something that somebody else is already doing, that most people, and again, this isn't all people, but most people will try to help you. They feel like they have something that they've learned and they have something to share. More often than not, people will share it. And they'll be like, hey, you know, yeah, I can give you some advice, or yeah, I'm willing to talk to you and tell you my story, because when people are coming to you for advice, they're usually asking you for your story. And people like talking about themselves. That's the other thing too, that I have found. And feeling like, okay, look, what I've done in my career has value. Somebody else sees value in it, so I can pass this along and pay it forward. So more often than not, look, I feel that people are good people, and they'll help you out if you ask. But these are two things that I would say is, one, you have to know what you're asking for. Mm. You have to know what your ask is, because oftentimes you'll find young people, especially, and they'll ask for everything. They'll apply for 50 different jobs, and it's like, okay, you're applying for 50 jobs at the same company. Everybody's talking within the company, so everybody's asking, okay, what does this person really want to do? So know what you want. Know what your ask is. When you have the ability to ask somebody that can potentially change your life, when you ask them something, make sure that you know what it is and it's the right thing. And the other thing too that I would say, when you're doing that in that process, be clear and be definitive in terms of what you want and what your goals are and where you want to go. Because oftentimes I've seen people ask somebody, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. And the other person on the other end doesn't have an answer. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be in a position where you're on an elevator with somebody that can change your life and can help you. And they ask you, how can I help you? And you don't know how they can help you. Mm-hmm. So know what you want. I think that's key. Knowing what you want and being able to verbalize to those who can help you, being able to verbalize that.
Man, that's so important. Know what you want, ladies and gentlemen. You have to spend time working on you so you know who you are and what it is that you want, so you can able to articulate that when you have the time or moment that you get to meet that person that can possibly change your life, your position, or afford you that opportunity. Now, last two questions for you. One, you know, we started off talking about how the industry has changed and so many things that have changed throughout your time in the industry. When you look at the future of this industry, what do you think the future has in store for the industry, especially for, you know, people of color?
More diversity. And look, I think there's more diversity, but I think that one of the things that we collectively as storytellers of color are going to have to do is continue to fight to share our stories and to tell our stories. And look, I'll even say this, where we were in June, July, and August of 2020 is not where we are in October, November, and December of 2022.
Yes.
People have fallen back on some old habits in terms of not only sharing, you know, stories, diverse stories, but just some reasoning behind why or why not to share those stories. So I think that got to continue to apply the right kind of pressure, and continue to push, and continue to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, like the for fathers and the mothers of the civil rights movement used to say, it's a movement. You got to continue to move, mm-hmm. move. And applying the right kind of pressure, is important. And the other thing too, look, and this is on executives of color, and this is on leaders, especially in this industry of color. You know, we talk about having a seat at the table, but like what I always tell young people when I'm on panels and things like that, I was like, it's not just having a seat at the table. It's being able to eat at the table. It's being able to speak up. It's being able to speak for the people that aren't at the table. Because if you're in that room and you aren't speaking on behalf of the people that aren't in that room, then we need to get you out of the room and get somebody else in the room. Because just Absolutely. Being in the room is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough anymore. I don't know if it ever was, but especially now, because we also have a lot of people. Look, I've seen this as well. In the wake of 2020, you had a lot of Black people get hired, a lot of, you know, and I'm not talking diverse, I'm talking Black. You had a lot of Black people that got hired. Mm-hmm. And some abused those platforms for the betterment of people that aren't in those positions. And some of them use those positions for the betterment of themselves. If you were in those positions, then it is incumbent upon you to help and to be a part of the, yeah. of the greater solution. And that's something that's really important to me, just throughout my career, no matter what position I've had, if I've had the ability to help somebody and to reach my arm out, reach my hand out and help bring somebody up with me, that's been something that's been so important to me, not because of the fact that there's anything special about me, but that's how my parents raised me. And they told me the importance of being able to give back and being able to pay it forward, because there are people that died literally in the streets. So I got to have the opportunity to talk to you today, and to do anything less than to pay it forward is not honoring their legacy. And it is making their sacrifice not all that it could be or should be. So
I love that.
So yeah. So we have to continue to apply pressure, and we have to continue to also make sure that when we are in positions to use our platforms for the greater good, to make sure that we're doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely what we're doing here at Rise Urban Nation. That's definitely what you're doing in your platform. And I love when you say, like, just pay it forward. Like, I was talking to some Black execs the other day, and I was like, look, we collectively are who our ancestors prayed for. Like, yep. This is what they died for. This is what we are now, what they died for, and we are who they prayed for. We are now in a position to do the things that they wanted to do or wished that somebody would have the power or the ability to do. And so now that we're in this position, we owe it to pay it forward, like you said. So thank you for reminding us of that. Let's end it out like this. See, I would love to do a longer episode because I feel like we vibing. And there's so much I would love to ask you, but my podcast, I'm not on that Joe Rogan type of level where we could talk for days. So let's end it out like this. What projects are you currently working on, and where can people find you, and where can they connect?
Oh man, we got some stuff. We got some heat coming. So Coach Prime is premiering on Amazon Prime. December
15th. Was that intentional? Coach Prime, Amazon Prime, like the spin.
It's intentional now. It is happening. December 15th, 4 episodes starting December 15th, dropping every Thursday throughout the holidays. So really excited about that, documenting Jackson State and Coach Prime's journey over the course of this past season. We have another show premiering in January, Cupcake Guys. So I don't know if you remember Brian Arakpo and Michael Griffin, former NFL players that played at the University of Texas. Once they retired, they started a cupcake business. So we're doing a reality show on their cupcake business in Austin. So that's fun. We have a documentary with HBO on Bishop Sycamore. I don't know if you remember the Bishop Sycamore story from last year.
No, I think tuned in to that one.
Yeah, it's another one of these stories about, I guess the best way to put it is that you had a school that turned out to not be a school compete on ESPN against IMG Academy, which is one of the top prep schools in America. Uh-huh. And they got blown out. It went viral. But this is the story behind how that whole thing came to be. And it's fascinating. It is fascinating. Wow. If you like true crime or anything adjacent to that, it will definitely quench that thirst. And then we have another doc with HBO on a female UFC fighter that will be premiering probably later in 2023, but we're actually wrapping up production on that now. So those are things that are currently in production, and then there's a lot in development. There's a lot of things that we've sold. Ooh, that we're setting up. 2023 is going to be busy. I'm going to come back in here and talk to you next year. We're going to talk about some of those projects, but man, thanks for having me on, and looking forward to talking.
No worries. Now I got to get my TiVo ready for all this. You know what? I think I remember the Cupcake Guys. Weren't they in Cupcake Wars too? I want to say they was in the Cupcake Wars. And I was like, they got football players now at Cupcake Wars.
They're out here doing their thing. They got they're mixing it up. They're doing the icing. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
I love it.
So, all right, man.
Anthony, Thank you so much for stopping by, dropping words of wisdom and everything that you're working on. I wish you continued success. When those new shows drop, you have to come through and let us know so we can connect, follow, share, like, all that good stuff. Any last words of wisdom for the people before we cut out today?
Man, take care of yourselves. Be kind to each other. And this holiday season, man, try not to get sick.
There you go. Take care of yourself and those around you. Yes, and try not to get sick. But we will do that. Thank you again. And we will catch you on the next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love. Love what you do. Don't chase the money. Let the money chase you.